All right, welcome. This is Dan Nessel from Perfect Supplements. And as our regular readers know, we've been running a series on simple steps to perfect health and wellness. Today we want to focus on exercise and fitness and look at what it takes to really kick things up to the next level. To help us on this journey is a true expert in this field, Sean Stevenson. Sean is a professional nutritionist, the author of two books on health and fitness, a featured contributor to Fox News and Clear Channel Radio, and of course, the host of my favorite health and fitness podcast, The Model Health Show. Sean, welcome and thanks for joining us.
Dan, thank you so much. I'm pumped to be here.
Well, thank you for letting us turn the tables on you. I know you're normally asking the questions. This time we appreciate you giving us some insight here. So I want to jump into it. Now, we're doing this as an audio interview, so people are not seeing you, but we're going to throw some pictures of you up on our site because you clearly walk the walk. You know, so you don't just talk about health and fitness. You look great. You're doing things right, so we want our readers and listeners to know what you're doing. So we're going to start with the basics. Give us an idea of how many days a week do you exercise and how long for each day?
Awesome. Well, that's a good place to start, and thank you for the compliment. Well, first and foremost, I want everybody to know that when I did that photo shoot, I'm really just representing and trying to demonstrate what's possible. You know, being a father of three kids, being a great husband, running two businesses, having my own show, writing every day, working with clients. You know, I've got a lot of stuff going on. Yep. And it's not about the quantity. It's about the quality. You know, and really making sure that you're doing the things that get you the biggest bang for your buck, the things that really push the button down all the way and get you the maximum benefit. That's what I focus on. And I've been able to really drill down and weed out a lot of the unnecessary stuff. And really, that's what I'm going to share with everybody today is what are the most important things to do. So for me personally, when it comes down to the amount of time I work out per week, it's going to surprise people, you know. I've been there where I'm working out 5-6 days a week, and I've also been in experiments where I work out once a week. And wow. What I found is that there's a happy medium for me, and I typically work out lifting is my main thing, is resistance training, 3 times a week for about 45 minutes. So cumulatively, that's, you know, right around 2 hours a week is what I'm spending in the gym. And to have the body that I was able to accomplish, that I have accomplished, and that little amount of time can be pretty impressive for a lot of people. But again, obviously nutrition plays a lot to do with it, which is what, you know, I'm with on board with you guys about, but it's also the exercises that I do. And I'm pretty confident that, of course, we're going to talk about that more today. So, as we go along here, I'll give some more specifics on what I do.
All right, that sounds great. So yeah, let's start with that. So you said about 3 days a week, about 45 minutes, and you were focusing on lifting.
Yeah.
How do you really break that down? And there's a lot of debate between cardio and lifting. Give us an idea of kind of what works for you and the differences and why someone would go with more cardio or lifting depending on their goals.
Got it. Okay, well, for most people, their goal is typically fat loss. You know, most people's right. goal is to be the leanest, meanest version of themselves, you know, to look good, to feel good in their clothes. And to do that, you know, what I found is that running is great for meditation. You know, running is great if that's something where you get out there and you just love running. But for the goal of changing your body composition of fat loss, it isn't the most effective or efficient way of doing it. Because, you know, when somebody has like, for example, if they have an apple shape and they lose weight by running, you know, doing a lot of cardio and cutting calories, they'll just become a smaller apple.
Okay. All right.
Versus when you have an apple shape and you lift weights, which can enable you to change the composition of your body, you can actually go from an apple shape to, say, you know, a Coke bottle shape, all right? So you can actually change your body's composition. You can actually do that because you're building more muscle, and muscle is, it takes up less space in your body. Fat takes up much more space. So with that said, one of the things that I do is I really focus on compound movements. You know, these are common things that people are talking about today, but I really want to get specific on this. So that means squats, deadlifts, pull-ups, or lat pulls, lateral pull downs, depending on your strength level. But I really feel that most people can build up to actually be able to do pull-ups and dips, lunges, and all these different movements, and then a plank, some type of exercise for your core. Now, with all these different movements, you know, we're really working on things that are designed for the human body to be able to do. You know, like a lunge, we're supposed to have a gait. We're supposed to be able to walk and carry heavy things, you know. We're supposed to be able to squat down and pick ourselves back up with a load. We're supposed to be able to lift heavy stuff off the floor, which is a deadlift. We're supposed to be able to press and push things if we need to, which is our pressing, you know, bench press and shoulder press and things like that. And we're also supposed to be able to pull ourselves up if we need to. These are all things built into our DNA, into our genes for survival, you know, but these are things that we don't do anymore because we don't have to. We can just sit back and be, you know, a desk jockey or, you know, a couch potato, whatever you want to call it. And so what we do is we emulate real life when we get into the gym and kind of recreate some of the things we normally do. So those are the lifts that I really focus on doing.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And that makes a lot of sense. And that kind of ties into me. There's been a huge movement with CrossFit. You see people walking around carrying big, heavy things and doing what kind of we used to do back many years ago. How does that really work in? I mean, there's a lot of this talk of kind of new fads, and CrossFit seems real big now. But kind of what would you tell our listeners in terms of kind of a philosophy for exercise? I mean, clearly you want to focus on the lifting. That makes sense, and doing things as humans we're supposed to do. But you constantly hear new things of this is out, that's out, try this, try that. You know, where should their focus be?
Wow, that's such a great question. And that's a layered question right there. what it boils down to, I love CrossFit because they've spread the consciousness of these movements. They spread the consciousness of lifting heavy things, especially for women, you know, that it's okay. As a matter of fact, you can build an amazing, beautiful body by doing this. They spread the awareness of mobility, right? Of taking care of your body. And also they've really tied in the nutrition component, you know, and it's just one of those things that's kind of caught fire. However, at the same time, it's not the end all be all, and it's just a container to put this stuff in, you know, for it really depends with anything where you're learning it from and who your teacher is. Because if you have the wrong protocol with CrossFit, you can run into a lot of problems, you know, but if it's just like anything else, you know. So for me personally, I was doing CrossFit workouts when they just had a very, like a small website, and they just posted up workouts every day. So I'd go and I'd do, you know, 20 cleans and then like 20 push-ups and then go run a 400 meter and then come back and do it again. I was doing all this stuff on my own, just pushing myself, kicking my own butt, just to see what it did. And honestly, for me, it didn't do much more benefit than my normal thing, which is, so let me get into some of the specifics on what I do.
So
what I really enjoy doing is I'll come in the early part of the week. So Monday, usually when everybody's in the gym, because Monday is like annual chest day, you know, like everybody wants to get in there. They've been waiting all weekend to do their bench press, you know, because that's the thing everybody thinks is, you know, what you're supposed to do to look buff or whatever. So I'm over there doing my legs, you know, I'm doing the deadlifts, I'm doing the squats on Mondays and really focusing on that, and lunges and things of that nature. And every now and then I might throw in a little bit of extra, a little bit of calf work. I got to make this quote right now.
Okay.
Lifting weights, in particular, lower body lifts make you a better person.
Ah.
All right. Lower body lifts make you a better person. I really, really feel that. It's because, like, psychologically, it's like being able to lift a heavy load up, you know, from being low to really elevate yourself, number one. Number two, it really builds a strong foundation. Okay.
Yeah.
So this kind of stuff really carries over. And I've seen people who've come in to work with me, my clients, and, you know, they're dealing with issues with their self-esteem. They're dealing with issues with emotional traumas, and getting them physically stronger by doing those types of lifts have helped to get them out of the prison that they're in psychologically. You know, feeling stronger physically really is a big game changer. And for women, they really get that, you know, with lifting and working on their lower body. But for some reason, a lot of guys don't really get that, you know. It's because, I guess, you know, we see the magazines most of the time, you see the shirt off, but you don't see the lower body, you know.
Right.
So for me, that's what I'm doing. I'm getting in there. I'm usually doing, right now, especially during the wintertime, just another insight for everybody. During the wintertime, I'm lifting heavier so I can put on a little bit more size, and then I'll lean out over the spring and summer. So I'm doing heavy sets, maybe 5x5, so 5 sets of 5 or 5 sets by 3, really building up to a potential max set every time. And then, you know, later in the week, I'll do my back you know, my pulls and my presses. And then on Saturdays, I'll do some fun stuff, you know, like the typical guy stuff. You know, I'll do some arms and some triceps and some handstand push-ups, and I'll play around more, you know. But I'm really in there being serious and lifting heavy 2 days a week, and 1 day a week I'm doing the auxiliary stuff. So that's what I typically do.
That sounds great. And, those are great tips. And, I mean, that self-esteem and that idea that exercise is not just about building up your physical body, but mentally, that's fantastic. And I think that's the thing which a lot of people miss with that.
Yeah.
One of the points you just touched on there is a question we had in terms of, there's also this debate about how much to lift, more reps, the repetition versus weight. And now you were saying you're doing about 5 reps.
Yeah. And this is a particular training, though, you know, so the rep range will change depending on your goals. A lot of people don't understand this one, too. Bodybuilders, in particular, I'm talking to women, they're usually afraid, like, Sean, I don't want to get buff. Like, look at my shoulders. I don't want to get big. I don't want to, you know, you see my hips? I don't want to get bigger. I'm like, just calm down. I've worked with literally hundreds and hundreds of women one-on-one in the gym. Thousands as far as, like, training and courses and things like that. And I am yet to see one woman get swole. You know, I have not seen that happen. And here's why. Bodybuilders are lifting lighter weights than they can do for lots and lots of reps. Mm-hmm. So what are women typically doing? Because they don't want to get big, they're lifting lighter weights for lots and lots of reps.
Right.
Okay. We need to flip that on its head. You need to lift heavier weights, less reps, and get done, get out of the gym. What our goal is to get the hormonal response. That's the goal. That hormonal response will literally change the way your body communicates with itself, and it changes your body's composition. If you don't dig deep enough, you're not going to get that hormonal response. You're just in there like fanning yourself. You know, it's just like, it's just a nice cool breeze. It's not really forcing your body to change. So when I'm doing stuff to, you know, kind of lean down, or if I'm doing some hypertrophy training, I'll do more volume, you know, so I'll do some more sets. And this is just a little trick for everybody if they do want to put on some size. I'll do like one set of 12 and I'll rest 30 seconds and I'll go again. One set of 12, and I'll keep dropping the weights down because it gets harder and harder if you're not resting. And right there, all of that tension and working your fast and slow twitch muscle fibers can really help to build some muscle. So this is called either superset training or drop sets. All that stuff is fair game, and it all works. It's just being able to have a variety of things at your disposal. The last thing that I want to mention with this is that we talked a little bit about cardio earlier. The number one thing, I'm telling you right now, this is the number one thing with exercise. If you want to get lean, the best thing, this is it. I hope everybody's listening in. Come close to the speaker. The number one thing that I do when spring summertime hits is I do HIIT training. I do high intensity interval training. And basically what that is sprint training or burst training. So for me, being a former athlete, running track and winning medals and all that stuff, I have a great background in these things. And essentially what you're going to do is you're going to sprint. And trust me, everybody, you can also do this on stationary bike. You know, there's different ways of going about this until, you know, depending on your level of fitness. But I get out there on a track and I'll do like 100 meter sprints, repeats. So I'll sprint 100 meters, then I'll, you know, rest and recover for maybe 30 seconds to a minute. Then I'll go again and I'll do maybe 8 sets of that on a good day. But I go so hard, it's very, very hard. And why this is such a beneficial thing is, when you're doing that long distance, like slow trotting cardio for an hour, you're building up and secreting a lot of stress hormones, namely cortisol, which is very catabolic. And it's a stress hormone, and that builds up in your tissues, and you're not stopping for your body to switch gears. When you're doing this burst training, you're going super hard and your body's secreting a lot of catecholamines or things like adrenaline and noradrenaline. And those are able to literally just cleave off thousands of potential fat cells of this muscle glycogen that can, you know, eventually cause a spillover and cause your body to store fat if you have too much of it. So that is the number one thing to really cleave off a lot of that potential fat very, very fast. So you get out there and you sprint, and your body in the rest and recovery, it's kind of switching gears. It's like, oh, he's okay. He sprinted, he made it away. And then you go again, and then you go again. And the trick is, you need to go so intensely, so hard, that your body is forced to change. That's the real secret.
Intensity.
Yes, yes. That is the key. And honestly, you should not do that more than twice a week. Some people get onto this kick of, and they find out about HIIT training and they're doing it like five times a week. That's not appropriate. And your body is not really recovering. You're not giving yourself a chance to actually heal and change from that intensity. If you're going intense enough, you wouldn't be able to do it. Like, you'd be frying your nervous system, you know. So you need to go so intense that once or twice a week at the most is right on the money. And this will lean you out better than anything. And you can look at the Olympics, look at the sprinters versus the long distance runners. You know, they tend to look younger, stronger, more vigorous and healthy and vital. And then a lot of the, not everybody, obviously it's not everybody. There's some very, very fit long distance runner, but they tend to look older. They tend to look, they tend to have some sarcopenia and muscle loss, and you can just see it. And also they tend to have to keep doing it. They got to keep running Forrest Gump style like forever, or they're going to get fat because they've changed the way their metabolism works. I rather sprint, do my little bit of workout, my 10-minute sprint workout. The time really is the warm-up, but 10-minute sprint workout and then live the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I mean, so interesting time back with what you were saying. I mean, running, you can go from a bigger apple to a smaller apple, but this HIIT training, I mean, you can really move it from the apple to the Coke bottle.
Yes, absolutely. If you combine that with a smart strength training program, you're going to be in the best shape of your life, period. You know?
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And let me also tie in, you had just talked about you don't want to do this more than twice a week in terms of the HIIT training. And that was a question we have. Sometimes you see people who get so excited about training, especially now, New Year's resolutions, you get into that overtraining issue. Now, in all your experience, kind of what are signs of that, or what should people watch out for, and is that a problem in terms of overtraining?
This is probably going to come to a surprise, but I feel that generally overtraining is a myth.
Okay.
Generally, I feel that overuse and impact can be detrimental. You know, so if you're doing the same repetitious movement over and over and over again, and really pounding on your joints and your ligaments and not letting your muscles heal, that's a problem. But you can train, like, your body can actually do a lot. It's just how you structure things. You know, if you're just doing the same thing over and over again every day, like, that's going to get you there faster. And that's our concept of health in our modern world today, is like, if some is good, more must be better. So, and also we get excited. And what I tend to see is that people get so excited and they'll be like, you know, so I'm going to work out for an hour a day, 6 days a week. And that doesn't last long. Because when you go from zero to trying to be a hero like that, what's going to happen is your body's going to get associated with a tremendous amount of pain with that exercise. Because you go from the couch to running 5 miles, you're going to feel horrible. And your body's going to tell you, like, seriously, don't do that anymore. And you're going to be using your willpower to try to fight against that. And that's not going to work in the long term. Versus, let's do something more reasonable. You know, and matter of fact, let's do something smart. Let's structure our exercise so we get the most benefit, then we can get ourselves out of the gym and go live our lives and enjoy our bodies. You know, it's a whole different concept. So I feel that consistency is important. And I personally, what works for me, obviously, you know, and so what I've been sharing is that I work out 3 days a week, maybe four, you know, when I'm doing the HIIT training. Mm-hmm. And that works for me, you know. But if you really love working out, which I do as well, but I got a lot of stuff going on, so I'm not doing it as often, you can structure things by changing the intensity, changing the body parts that you're working on, changing, just being more in variety, and you can work out more often, you know. But I would highly recommend you make your workouts shorter.
Yeah, this is fantastic. I mean, you're shattering myths for me. There's a lot that I'm learning here. So this is really great. Let me ask you about, you know, staying motivated. So you get on this kick, you decide you're going to get into great shape, but you have an off day, maybe you have an injury, you're not feeling good. Any tips or tricks to really stay motivated and to stay on track?
Wow. You know, what it really boils down to, Dan, I'm just going to be straight with you. It boils down to you being the type of person that can do all the things that you want to do in your life. Mm-hmm. The outer work comes as a result of you becoming that person. When you're firmly seated in your spirit as I'm this person, I'm here to be healthy, I'm here to be happy, I'm here to share my gifts, everything else in your life starts to match up with that. And right. that's the biggest motivational tool, is when somebody can actually flip on that switch and understand and care enough and love themselves enough to do these things, you know, so that it becomes a part of who you are. Now, right. with that said, you know, it is also the practical application, which for me, it's just, it boils down to the word discipline. People who are not successful don't like that word. People who are successful love it. They right. love disciplines. I love my disciplines. And it's starting to fall in love with that word and becoming a disciple of your own work, of your own body, of your own gifts and talents. And because, you know, the word disciple is derived from discipline. So having those daily disciplines, and really what it is for me is do it early and do it often, you know. So the right. early part of the day is usually where you have more control. So getting up and doing something healthy for yourself as soon as you wake up in the morning, like for me, as soon as I wake up, I drink a liter of water, and then I'll do a little meditation, and then I'll do some kind of a health activity. Usually I train heavier in the evening now, not in the evening, but in the afternoon.
Okay.
But in the morning, I'll do some Qigong or some yoga, or I always do mobility work in the morning now. And okay. that's a little tip for everybody too. Nobody likes a stretch. Stretching okay. is just not sexy. But
right.
if you reframe it in your mind, it's mobility work. You're doing your mobility work. You know, that's right. a whole different thing. So you, and this is something to cultivate that flexibility and long-term strength and endurance. And yeah, that's the way that I retrain myself. And now I do it every day. And when I used to never do it.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's staying motivated by that with the structure. That's really interesting. And what you touched on there with yoga, the stretching, the meditation, you know, goes to another point, which is that, I mean, exercise really goes beyond just these kind of what we think of fundamentals of cardio or weightlifting. So you definitely work in meditation, yoga, and those are all parts of your fitness program as well, right?
That's right. Yep. I'm a collage of awesomeness with all this health stuff.
Yeah, that's great. This has been fantastic, and I've learned a lot, and hopefully our listeners will learn a lot from this as well. And we'll have resources, links here to Sean's show, his podcast, his website, which are fantastic, and a lot more information there. But let me leave you with a somewhat philosophical question, which we've okay. already kind of touched on throughout all this. But tell us, why do you exercise?
I really already touched on this a little bit, as you said, but I exercise because I care. I exercise because I appreciate being alive. I exercise because I appreciate having the opportunity to be a better version of me. And I appreciate the opportunities that I have every day to live. And I exercise because I want to be an example for my kids, for my family, for everybody who sees me. I want them to know what's possible. That's why I exercise.
That's incredible. Yeah, I mean, that right there is incredible. Sean Stevenson, we want to thank you for your time. I feel like I got to go start exercising now. I'm motivated. I want to go.
Awesome.
This has been fantastic. Awesome. Thanks so much for your time and all your information.
Awesome. Thank you, Dan.